The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You live here. He lives here.
I absolutely love your show.
Thank you very much for your show. It is really something to look forward to when you wake up in the morning.
You've done a terrific job. You've earned my listenership.
Thank you very, very much for your sane reasoning and conversation.
Well, I'm just waiting for them to tell me when we get going here since we're live streaming this.
You're good.
Oh, ready to go. Okay.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
You know, Fast Eddie, you may want to go find the final couple of minutes of our interview yesterday with former Energy Secretary Briette. The last question I asked him, I don't think even I realized what kind of news broke here. I don't think I realized what the conversation ended on yesterday. Did you?
Off the top of my head, no.
Well, because, you know, the interview had gone on for a while. I asked lots of questions, and I kind of limped in at the end with what is probably the most important question of all the questions I asked. Which was, and I'm paraphrasing because even I don't remember how good the question was, but I know that it was something along the lines of, when do you expect this to get bad, this pipeline thing? If there's not a true supply shortage right now, when do you expect that it could be bad? His answer, folks, was by the end of the week. Now, that's a guy in the know. That guy literally is in the room. This is a guy that has planned for and understands what this is in real time, has been in the room, has had these discussions. And again, I don't mean to alarm or frighten or freak anybody out, but I don't know that anybody really ruminated on the news that broke here. And I would guess we're the only people that did that interview yesterday, to my knowledge, unless you've seen him elsewhere. But I asked him, when do you think this gets bad? If there's not really a short, he thinks people are panic buying right now, which you're seeing these lines in Virginia. And he explained the crossover, which I don't think I really knew. Maybe you knew this. Or maybe I'd been told this before and I didn't know. By the way, good morning. It's the middle of the week and I am glad to have you here. Beautiful start to the day. Telephone number 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. I stopped for gas this morning, in fact. Not because I was panic buying, but because I needed it. And I thought to myself, you know, I kind of wonder, given what... Literally, as I was standing there at the pump this morning, I was ruminating on the closing question to Secretary Briette. When does this get bad, Mr. Secretary? I'd say if they don't have this thing turned on and figured out by the week's end, then it might be. Because remember what they keep saying about this pipeline. It's half the supply to the country. Half. More than half. I would assume that encompasses us. I would assume that means we're part of that half. Now, I'm not, again, telling you to run out and panic buy, but I just, there were no panic buying anywhere that I've seen. In Virginia, there's panic buying. In the Carolinas, there's panic buying. I haven't seen it anywhere, not at my Wawa, not at any of the 300 Wawas that are in my town. They build one about every 10 yards or so. It's really remarkable. One stretch of highway, there's like three.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anything like what we've got in our town. They built three Wawas in one town on one stretch. I'm not kidding. You can get to three Wawas within 20 minutes on one stretch. But anyway, not seeing any panic buying there. I haven't heard or seen any evidence of panic buying in our region, nor do I think there should be. The secretary said, don't sweat it. We got plenty. I said, okay, when do we sweat it? He said, oh, by week's end. Like, that just kind of slipped in there at the end. That's a pretty significant statement he made.
Yeah, and I actually misread it because I'm just thinking, oh, okay, like, they'll have this figured out by week's end is what I was thinking.
And they don't have it figured out this morning.
I think I'm there in this interview if you want me to pot it up. Or
yeah, let's just go back and refresh, because if you didn't hear it or you maybe missed it as I did and it really didn't sink in, I feel like it's kind of important.
Russia was larger than Saudi Arabia. And, you know, to the extent that activists, to the extent that they have policies in place with the new administration that might curtail that production, then we could be looking at shortages down the road.
So when Colonial, this major pipeline that supplies half the country's gasoline needs, and particularly in the Northeast, when it shuts off like this, what does that mean and for how long? What are they doing and why?
Well, what they're doing is trying to confirm the intelligence that we know is out there. With regard to this group called DarkSide. And that's an organization that I learned about, we learned about as a government, sometime around the middle of last year. We saw them for the first time. We don't know much about them. We don't know who's associated specifically with this group or who's associated specifically with this particular cyber attack. So I assume that what the government's doing today, what the Biden administration is doing today, is looking through the intel, trying to confirm what they think they know at this point, and then inform the Colonial people of that, and then work closely with them to determine what are the next steps that Colonial needs to take to get out of this jam.
So the pipeline. I'm sorry to interrupt you. The hack.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry for the total lack of knowledge on this. When one hacks and a hostile nation or whomever hacks into an oil pipeline, is that what physically shuts it off, or the oil producing people that move the product shut it down?
Yeah. The oil producing people shut it down in certain cases. It depends on what they've hacked, and that's part of the confirmation process. If they've hacked the internal controls, what's called the ICS system, that's the part of the computer, you know, programming that allows you to actually control the pipeline, turn the valves on and off. If they've hacked that, we got a big problem. If they haven't hacked that, they've simply taken data from the Colonial Pipeline company, and they're holding it ransom, which is typically what this organization does, DarkSide, then it's just a matter of Colonial learning what that is and deciding whether or not they want to pay the ransom or whether or not they want to turn the pipeline back on and take their chances. That's a decision they're going to have to make because it is a private pipeline. But we're going to have to wait for that process to unfold a little bit.
Wow. All right. And, to your point, I remember very vividly talking with you maybe 2 years into the Trump administration. There was what was known, I'd heard, as almost a glut of oil. There were tankers that literally couldn't unload. I mean, we started filling tankers, right? They were out to sea just floating around waiting to find a port, that our reserves were stockpiled. We had a lot. I mean, we were awash in oil. True?
Not too long ago. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, about a year ago, we had an enormous problem with storage because when COVID became an issue, the economy shut down. And once the economy shut down, demand for refined product went away because people weren't going to work, and the oil just started backing up. So the president directed me to open up what's known as a strategic petroleum reserve and make it available to the private industry, which I did. And that's what you and I were talking about.
And so are we still, for want of a better term, living off of that glut, or has that quickly diminished? Or again, you say there is no real emergency in supply right now. When could it become an emergency or a problem in terms of supply?
Well, I think if they don't get the pipeline back up by the end of the week, we're going to have some serious challenges in the Northeast. So I'm sure they're working 24/7 trying to figure this out and make some business decisions about how to open.
Yeah, there it is. That's our conversation yesterday with the secretary. As I said, that was the last question I asked him. Just slipped it in there at the end. Not sure why I didn't lead with that, but that was my kind of off-the-cuff last question before the interview wrapped up, and that's a big statement he just made. I don't think I really let it sink in yesterday, and I don't know that I really heard it. It bears repeating. In fact, it's a newsworthy item. Probably everyone ought to hear when the immediate past energy secretary says, if we don't get this fixed by the end of the week, we've got major problems. Like, that's a significant news item. I don't think I understood how important yesterday's show was, Fast Eddie.
That's why you are who you are.
Thank you.
I misread it.
I'm pumping gas today thinking to myself, if this is really, and I'm looking at this map from Gas Buddy today, gasbuddy.com. States reporting gasoline outages right now. It's all to our south, but Maryland is one of the states listed. Virginia, the Carolinas, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee. So it's mostly southern, southeastern states right now. The biggest outage reported in North Carolina, followed by Georgia, then Virginia, then South Carolina, and then Florida. And then just slightly 1% of outages being reported in Maryland, Tennessee, and Alabama for now. So that's all to our south for now. They're not indicating that Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania are having any kind of shortages. But you just heard, again, that's the immediate past energy secretary, a guy whose job it was to do nothing but look at this. And he said, if they don't have this thing turned on and figured out by week's end, we'll be facing major challenges. By the way, as I look up at the three major cable news channels this morning, Fox News leads with this story appropriately because it is the most important. What are the other two leading with this morning?
Liz Cheney.
That's right. Ousting Liz Cheney.
Yes.
Aha. So Israel is under heavy bombardment. Our southern border is being flooded. We can't get people to come back to work to fill hundreds of thousands of jobs that are vacant. We can't get an economy online. And there's a massive gas shortage.
That's five headlines, Chris.
But Liz Cheney may be ousted from a leadership position, the number three position in the Republican Party, in the minority party in the Congress today. Yes. That is the headline for two major cable news, national cable news shows today. What a service they're doing for their viewers. Can you imagine being someone who wakes up and counts on CNN or MSNBC as your morning news source? I know these people. I know some people who count on Morning Joe for their morning news. And Liz Cheney, we're 13 minutes in from the top of the hour, and Morning Joe is chattering on and on and on about Liz Cheney, as though all the major news items I just mentioned aren't even happening. That's the most remarkable. I mean, at some point, that's just negligence, isn't it? Aren't you just being negligent at some point with your viewers when you refuse to tell them what's happening in the nation and the world, but instead you focus on Liz Cheney's ouster?
It explains a lot about the pandemic, to be honest.
Right.
You know?
What is real and what is serious? And what was ever real or serious, and what they chose to make serious, when in fact maybe it wasn't really at all, is what you mean.
Yep, for sure.
Coming up here in just about 15 minutes, another critically important gentleman, a guy who knows real issues and what are real security issues to this country and around the world, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. He's the former National Security Advisor to Vice President Pence, co-chairman of the Center for National Security at the America First Policy Institute. He has a lot to say on both national and international threats we face. And I don't doubt he's probably going to have plenty to say about what it could mean if you start seeing gas lines. Now, I'm not, you know, I know that everybody's making this analogous to the Carter administration and inflation and all of that. I don't think that that's quite it yet. But, and I won't say that this is self-imposed or self-inflicted yet. I mean, that was a different set of circumstances back then that caused those. But inflation was real back then, and price of goods and services are really going up. And while this was a cyber attack that apparently shut down half the country's oil supply, the problem is we don't seem to have any kind of strategic answer for it. There seems to be no real plan. Grandpa is asleep at the switch, maybe literally. So I wonder from the Lieutenant General what he'll have to say. We're militaried up today, too, because Colonel Kurt Schlichter will be with us at 7:30 today. And the esteemed Tony Bruno, sports talk legend in Philadelphia. Now he's become sort of an all-around radio raconteur. This guy has waded into the politics of the day in a way that I don't think he used to. And maybe people had their suspicions about his political leanings, but sports guys used to try to not do that. But now that Tony's kind of out of the game, if you follow him on social media, he does not hold back. Tony, for the first time, I think probably in his career, is just letting everybody know exactly what he thinks about the politics of the day, which makes him fun. We will talk, obviously, a little bit of sports, but he's not run out of opinions about what's happening to his beloved city of Philadelphia. Interesting news yesterday that Ed Rendell is the only notable Democrat in our region who's come out and gone on the record and said, we got to get rid of Krasner. I support Vega in the primary next week. That's the only, to my knowledge, unless there's somebody else I'm not thinking of that's high profile and prominent, Ed Rendell, the only Democrat in Philadelphia that's been willing to go on the record and say, I'm with Vega. Now, I don't know if Ed Rendell's name carries the cachet it used to in the Democrat Party. Ed Rendell is still kind of considered old guard Clinton Democrat, which we know what the Clintons are basically, as far as Democrats are concerned, they've been on the out since Obama. Oh, Barack Obama hated Hillary Clinton. The only reason, you know, it's like keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You give Hillary Clinton a post as Secretary of State so you don't have to deal with her. And I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt the last thing the Clinton administration, or the last thing the Obama administration wanted was a Hillary Clinton presidency. Did they want it less than Donald Trump? I'd have to mull that one over. But I know they weren't helpful to her. And they don't care for the Clintons. Not to mention Bill Clinton and his horn dog past is a real problem in the Me Too era. And she's just such a loathsome, dislikable creature that she couldn't stand a chance anyway. She's just horribly unlikable to everybody in the party. So Ed Rendell comes from that generation of Democrat, the James Carville generation who showed up. Hey, look here, we got to stop all this woke stuff, you see? We got to stop talking all this woke. They don't listen to James Carville and Ed Rendell anymore. And they should, because Ed Rendell and James Carville represent people of, for instance, my parents' era. People who are more mature than I. You know, I'm a Gen Xer. But boomer types, people in their 60s and 70s who are voters, who are loyal voters, who were loyal Democrats, loyal union, working class, blue-collar Democrats, a lot of them are being disabused of what it means to be a Democrat. They're waking up and realizing that was the rope-a-dope they did with Joe Biden. Joe Biden was to appeal to people of that era who were trying to be made to feel comfortable about voting. Oh, that's old Joe. We know Joe. Joe's a throwback to the Clinton era. Joe's been around forever. He's like Ma and Pa's Democrat Party. Let's vote for him. Never really realizing the radical puppet masters behind the guy, that Grandpa was never really going to run anything. And people have wakened up to it. They see it. I know that Ed Rendell and James Carville and people of my parents' generation who are in their late 60s and 70s, and certainly you guys in your 80s, I know you know this. I know even if you were a loyal Democrat, you're watching your country and saying, these are not the Democrats that I came up knowing. You know, I or my parents had John F. Kennedy hanging on their wall. This ain't John F. Kennedy. And Ed Rendell knows it. And I'm not saying Ed Rendell was pure and clean as the wind-driven snow as a Democrat. Don't misunderstand. But in comparison to the likes of the progressive movement like Soros and Larry Krasner, Ed Rendell looks like, you know, Ronald Reagan or Margaret Thatcher. So they're trying. I mean, these old dog Democrats, they're coming out going, we got to, like, you, Krasner's destroying the city and this woke stuff. You know, the riots, the beat, like, we need to knock that off. And they're like, quiet, old men. Take a seat. We're running the show now. So I don't know. Does Ed Rendell's name carry much cachet these days? Maybe with some of the old guard types.
I think this is honestly the battle of the city. If he doesn't work and the old guard Democrats don't do something crooked or intimidate like they used to, and then that means they've truly lost to the progressives.
You have to get the old guard Democrats out to vote. Jim Kenney doesn't want to help. He doesn't want to go as far as endorsing Krasner, but he doesn't want to help Vega because he's afraid. Jim Kenney's a tiny, impotent, limp, flaccid little man who's afraid of having principles or a core. he can't even stand up to the progressive wing and stand shoulder to shoulder with guys like Ed Rendell, because, you know, once upon a time, guys like Kenny, the mayor of Philadelphia, were considered old guard Democrats, South Philly Democrats, Bob Brady Democrats. Where are these Democrats now? Where are they? Do they have a voice? And this city that used to support them, they were all lulled into this idea that they were Joe and Jane Lunchbucket, working class. Let's go to the mill and do our... I get it. Oh, it's time for the whistle. Let's go have a cold one. You know, it's like that whole thing, that's all old crap. It's not true anymore. The progressive wing of the Democrat Party has no time or interest in you, you people that used to think of yourselves as working class. You just ought to know that. And if you don't know it, you need to wake up and understand that James Carville and the Clintons and Ed Rendell and even to a lesser extent Kenny, who's tried to glom onto the progressive wing but isn't really them either, and they know it. He's trying to kind of say it's that, you know, it's like looking at somebody who's aging who's still trying to dress cool. That's what Jim Kenny's doing with progressives.
I like that.
Hey, youth. Hey, young people, look at me. I can skateboard and chew bubble gum. No, just quit. You're sad.
Yeah.
You're old. We're going to see in short order, in less than a week, whether progressives now own Philadelphia or not. How many old guard Democrats versus progressives there are in this town. We're going to see and pray, quite frankly. So, I take Ed Rendell coming out yesterday for Vega as a great positive development, quite frankly. I never cheered so hard for old corrupt Democrats in my life.
Yeah, right. It's sad.
Just to save the city, frankly. It's like, I don't know, aren't there Marvel movies where you end up employing the old villain to beat the new villain?
Yeah, I think that's what the Suicide Squad was about.
Kind of what it feels like now. This is Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. Oh, no, it's 100% true that Biden's first... I mean, I said it yesterday. I understand that Biden's first order of business was to kill the Keystone XL pipeline. It's stupid policy. I'm just saying that this would have happened if he hadn't killed the Keystone XL pipeline. It's not... At this very moment... Yes, is he Jimmy Carter bad? Yes, are his policies bad? I'm just saying, if this cyber attack had happened to Donald Trump, the same thing would have happened. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't prepare for things like this going forward by opening more pipelines and making sure we double and triple up our supply so that we're never reliant on any one. That's the difference between a Donald Trump administration and a Joe Biden administration. I'm just saying, in this particular moment, at this particular hour, in this particular event, I'm not prepared to make it analogous, but like... To not have options is terrible, and that's what Biden is setting us up for, of course.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle. Download our free mobile app. Go to quicklinks at 990theanswer.com.
It's the show everybody wants to be a part of. The show everybody can't stop listening to. The show everybody wants to comment on. But no one can do. 610-850-0990, the number. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Coming up, Colonel Kurt Schlichter at 7:30. Tony Bruno at 8 o'clock. The great Tony Bruno of sports talk fame here in Philadelphia. He'll have a lot to say about this upcoming primary on Tuesday. You can't not vote, folks. May 18th, if you're a registered voter in Pennsylvania, May 18th is critical. Regardless of whether you're in Philadelphia proper or not. Certainly, if you're a registered Democrat in Philadelphia, voting for Carlos Vega and ousting that guy, Larry Krasner, critical. But May 18th, across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, your opportunity to say yes to questions 1 and 2. Say yes to questions 1 and 2. Amend the Constitution in Pennsylvania so that never again we have limitless executive authority lorded over us by one governor with no legislative checks and balances. A yes to questions 1 and 2 next Tuesday says after 3 weeks of an emergency order in Pennsylvania, a governor has to go to the legislature to get approval for additional emergency order time. It makes good sense. 3 weeks is enough for an emergency order from one governor. After that, your elected representatives should have a say in whether that continues or not. It's that simple. That's what those two questions are about. So encouraging a yes vote on question one and two. All right, telephone number 610-850-0990. This is a pretty perilous time. It's starting to feel very quickly very uneasy, not just here in the country, but now around the world. America's enemies are starting to flex, as we talked about yesterday. Here to discuss it is a man who knows it all too well. He's made it his life's work in service to the country and in study as well. Former National Security Advisor to Vice President Pence, co-chairman of the Center for National Security at the America First Policy Institute. He's Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. General Kellogg, it's an honor to have you on the show today, sir. Hello.
Hey, Chris. Thanks very much for having me. I do appreciate it.
Is it dire? I don't want to needlessly panic people, but I look at kind of the situation, and here's how I see it. A southern border that's, we just saw numbers yesterday that were staggering. Hundreds of thousands of people pouring in 1 month across the southern border. We have a pipeline shut down. You have Hamas aggressively attacking Israel. And it seems like it's just all happened here in the first few months of this new administration. So how should we average Americans read this? Is it dire?
Yeah, you know, Chris, that's, first of all, it's a great question. It's almost like I think this administration is whistling past the graveyard. I mean, they believe by ignoring the situation at hand, it's going to go away, and it's not. Let's use the Colonial Pipeline example, you know, which is actually the largest pipeline in the East, 13 states. 267 terminals. It's a ransomware attack. It's not state supported, but it's state sponsored when it comes to that. And it's basically it's extortion. Then you have what's going on in the Middle East with Hamas, which is an offshoot of what's happening in Iran. And Iran funds Hamas and Hezbollah. When you look at how this administration treated the government of Israel, it took over a month before Biden called Netanyahu, and I know for a fact that you can reach out to any foreign leader in a matter of minutes from the White House through the Situation Room. I've seen it done. I saw it done for 4 years. So the fact that he didn't reach out sent a very clear signal to the opponents of Netanyahu. Then you look at the border to the south, which was secure, and now it's totally insecure. And there, I think it's misinformation when they say that, well, the border is closed. I heard yesterday the DHS secretary said the border is closed. Well, unless my eyes are fooling me, there was a lot of people crossing the Rio Grande yesterday in broad daylight. So I don't know if it's necessarily the word I would use is dire, but it's troubling to me that all of this is happening and we're getting no response from government.
It seems pretty clear to me, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, that the flow of illegal folks coming across the border was not happening to the degree, anyway, that it is now under Donald Trump. Hamas had been relatively quiet. I'm not saying they didn't have designs, and I'm not saying it was perfect every day, but they certainly weren't doing what they're doing right now while Donald Trump was president. I didn't see that there were any major pipeline attacks while Donald Trump was president, and I can only conclude the reason we didn't see these acts of whether you want to call them aggression or flouting the laws of the United States, we didn't see them because I think people understood Donald Trump was a guy who wouldn't tolerate it. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a great assessment, Chris. In fact, we basically took the attitude in the White House, and I was there for over 1,400 days from the day we went in on the 20th of January, 2017, and I drove out on the 20th of January, 2021. The general belief from President Trump and the administration was, if you attack, and you can put attack to include what's happening with our pipeline, if you attack us, we are going to make you pay a price. You affect Americans, and that's when we come back to the America First concept, is you mess with our civilians and our people, our citizens out there, then you're going to pay a price. We're going to come at you. And the world understood that. Look, we made it very clear. I'll give you one of the great examples is what happened with Soleimani when we told the Iranians very clearly, do not attack an American or kill an American, and they killed an American. is game over. We said, fine, we're coming at you, and we did it. We said the same thing when it came to alliances, economically speaking, when we told NATO, look, NATO, for the most part, except for six nations, you're not paying what you agreed to. An alliance is an agreement, 2% of GDP on defense, agreed to by the Wales Declaration. You all didn't agree to it, and people just avoided it. So the president said, wait a second. Everybody knows what Article 5 of the London Treaty, but now called the NATO Treaty, is attack on ones and attack on all. But there's also an Article 3, and the Article 3 is you pay for the common defense and the individual defense of your own nation. And if you're not going to do it, the question is, why is there an alliance? And people said, oh, yeah, you're right. We're going to start paying. So you make people respond to that. You just don't ignore it. And that's what I see happening today, is basically ignoring the situation. And let me just give a but a good example on the southern border. We had a Remain in Mexico policy that Obrador, the president of Mexico, helped us by putting 25,000 Mexican troops on the border, and we put our border security out as well. And that did not happen under Trump. It stopped. It slowed. It may didn't 100% stop, but it sure as heck slowed. So, Chris, long answer to short question, you're absolutely correct.
Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg with us, former National Security Advisor to Vice President Pence, co-chairman for the Center of for National Security at the America First Policy Institute. General, it's just interesting to me that if you take the 30,000-foot view look of it, and I talked with the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, yesterday on this show, and I asked him if it's fair to assess, do our international partners – like Israel, do they look at a guy like Biden as a friend, as a help? I mean, it was clear that Donald Trump, he was actively signing peace accords with neighboring nations to Israel. But, I don't think they view him as an enemy per se. But I don't know. It just seems to me that the second Biden becomes president, you start to see bad actors flexing their muscle. And I don't know. I can't speak for Israel, but I've got to imagine that they understand the power dynamic has shifted, and not for the better, as it relates to hostile neighbors.
Yeah, Chris, I think the one word is consequence. When you did something to the United States of America under the Trump administration, and you did it that it affected our citizens, then you were going to pay a price. And that's where we come back to what we said, America First, because America First goes back to the Constitution, the preamble to the Constitution, which says, we the people. And our job in the national government, we believe, was to protect the American people to the extent that if it meant that we were going to protect them vis-a-vis other nations, and that's the way it was. Great example is what we did with the coronavirus when we developed in less than a year, which was unheard of, two vaccines in Moderna and Pfizer. We kept those in the United States until we were convinced that we could add enough, we had enough to take care of our own citizens. We did the same thing with the form of remdesivir, which helped to treat it if you got COVID. We had 90% of those that pharma to make sure we could take care of our own people. And it goes back to what we were talking earlier. You hit us, be it kinetically or you hit us through economics or whatever it is out there, we are going to protect the United States of America and we're going to protect our people. I don't think that's happening now. That's what I said on the earlier comment, Chris, when I said it's sort of like whistling past the graveyard. Just ignore it. It'll go.
Colonel, you bring up coronavirus. I didn't even include that. That's not a small matter. Is it still widely believed that this was, well, I don't think there's a doubt that it came from China. The question is, was it malicious or not? Where do you come down at this hour? What was the assessment of the Trump administration when it was all said and done? Was it malicious or accidental, or are we still unclear?
Yeah, well, I would have to say there's at least a significant percentage that thinks it was an inadvertent release, because the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is the BLS-4 lab there, which is the highest protective lab you got, it has happened before where somebody, a worker in a lab, will walk out of the lab with something on them, and that starts the train of things happening down there. And I think, Bob Redfield, who was the CDC director on this, he actually said that, I believe, was on CNN when he made the comment that he believes it was an inadvertent release. That we don't put that past it happening, that was going on. And the reason we say that is because we look at the response that the Chinese had in the city of Wuhan, which is a massive city out there. It was an immediate response. They shut the city down, total quarantine. It was an unheard of look at. And that's, by the way, where we picked up right away. When we noticed what they were doing, we knew something bad was going on. And I don't think they would have done that, if they hadn't thought that they had an inadvertent release of something pretty bad. And the Wuhan Institute of Virology actually studies coronaviruses. So it wasn't like it's a place out there that did not study the kind of disease that broke out. So I honestly, Chris, do I think it was deliberate? No. Do I believe there's a strong possibility that it was an inadvertent release? The answer is yes. The frustration we had was the lack of information. They didn't tell us anything. We kept pressing what's going on, and they ignored everything. They would not even let our own CDC people into China after the break of the virus was coming out. And that caused us a delay in response because we weren't sure because they weren't telling us.
General Kellogg, this may be more provocative of a question than you care to answer, and I respect it if so. But you know, politics being what they are in this country, I think the virus has largely been used as a political weapon, and you may not want to comment that way. But people do ask and wonder, some of our public health officials, people like Dr. Fauci, for instance, there are people wondering really what their objectives and motives and financial ties are. Are those fair questions when you start asking about what are their histories? Do they work with labs like these we're talking about in Wuhan, their relationship with the World Health Organization? Said another way, the opposite of America first. Maybe more interested in the global picture than America first picture.
Yeah, Chris, here's what's an amazing thing I found with doctors, because I was part of the coronavirus task force from day one with the vice president when he was named the task force lead. Is I'm finding that most of the doctors, and this includes Tony Fauci, and I told Tony this, I said, they don't understand federalism, the responsibility of the federal government and down with the states out there. And my experience now with doctors is they're very, very conservative. I will tell you one of the great comments, and I won't give you the name because it's a pretty significant character in the White House as an individual. And he stood up one day in a situation room meeting and he said, "You doctors are scaring and filling the blank out of people by what you're doing." And I think what's happened is we follow the science, but the science shouldn't drive policy. What I mean by that is once they give us their opinion, then it's up to the decision makers who are elected by the people of the United States to make those decisions. It's not the doctor's decisions to make. And what I'm laughing about is with the Biden administration, they say we're going to follow the science. Well, if you follow the science, if I was President Biden, what I would have done during this address to Congress, since he was fully vaccinated and everybody in that chamber was vaccinated, I would have stood up and ripped off my mask and said, "It's time to take the masks off, everybody, if you're vaccinated." And he didn't do it. And I think what's happened is because of that, the doctors have become very, very politicized, and they shouldn't. They should give recommendations. They should give advice. And then the elected officials make the call.
Are we right to interpret that? Okay, I won't even say a major political party, but are we right to interpret that there are senior leaders, high-profile figures in power today who are using coronavirus as a political instrument as opposed to a scientific instrument? In other words, it's a manipulation at this point rather than a scientific decision being made, certain displays of mask wearing or social distancing or these sorts of things. Now that we have a vaccine and we understand this virus better, would you say there are people that are politicizing, I'll just say people generally, still heavily politicizing this virus?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was politicized during the campaign. I mean, we were out there very upfront telling people what we had. And I actually went on national television and explained to everybody how close we were on a vaccine. And I was just ignored. And I said, I used my hand with my thumb and forefinger. We're this close to a vaccine. It was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when the vaccine actually, broke, the news broke, was after the election, we had two vaccines ready to go, which was unheard of. And it was made available through a program we called Warp Speed, where the president made a business decision. And the business decision was we were basically going to throw money at it. And we were going to create a program where we would manufacture risk. And what we meant by that is we would tell the pharmacist, you develop the vaccine, and then you start producing it. And we're going to pay you to produce it. That meant that we would have vaccines ready to go as soon as we got emergency use approval from FDA to go. It used to be sequential. You produce the vaccine, you would test the vaccine, you get the approval, and then you would issue it. What we did is we actually had vaccine waiting to go, And as soon as the EUA was announced, we shipped it out. The EUA was given on a Friday. And on Saturday and Sunday, we were shipping vaccines, and vaccines went into arms on a Monday. That's unheard of. And you never heard that. That was our frustration. And it was either the major media, mass media that's out there, or the people were just ignoring the fact that this was an unheard of accomplishment out there by any administration, that we were able to create vaccines within a year. Never been done before.
General Kellogg, I'll let you go on this question. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg with us, former National Security Advisor to Vice President Pence, co-chairman of the Center for National Security at America First Policy Institute. If I had to ask you to rank, in order, number one, what you deem the greatest threat to the United States at this hour, what do you pinpoint? What do you call number one?
Yeah, the number one is, I think, the economic threat that's coming from China, because they're growing out there, and everybody is kind of taking their eye off the ball out there. But I will tell you the second one, and I believe it's in, and I'm probably going a little bit out on this one. I think there's a domestic issue too, and I think what that is the role of media and what is happening today out there. They've forgotten they're just ignoring what the rule is to basically try to balance the information as best as possible and let different viewpoints come up online. And then with that, it goes hand in hand with what I call censorship, which you're seeing right now with Twitter and Facebook, on ignoring and not allowing a former president of the United States, and there's only been 45 of them, allowed on the air. So I think you've got an international threat, a threat arising in China, and I think you have a domestic concern I've got right now, which to me is, I will use the word censorship, which I think is appalling.
So, in other words, you would not deem two cable news channels off the top of their hour spending most of their hour this morning discussing Liz Cheney's role in the minority party in Congress as their lead story of the day. You would not deem that the lead story of Keith Kellogg's day, I would guess.
No.
So that's enough said, General. I appreciate all your time this morning. Thank you, sir, very much for both being here and in service to the country. I sincerely thank you. Thank you, General Kellogg. Appreciate it. It's 6:50. Telephone number. All you need to hear is a laugh from the general to know. All you need to know. 610-850-0990, the number. This is Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Getting crowded out there. Sean Parnell has made it official. He's running for Senate in Pennsylvania. Told you. It's going to get crowded. And everyone's welcome. We'll get Sean on the show. But anybody's guess how it shakes out. We all know that Lurch is the Democrats' candidate, the pot-smoking Lurch. Yeah, the question is the food fight that's becoming the Republican side of things. Sean Parnell in today. That's an interesting entry. We'll try to comb through these new reopening / peeled back restrictions next. I don't follow them
this
yet, to be honest.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. You live here. He lives here.
I'm so happy you're back on the air, and I wanted to let you know, love the podcast.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Welcome back, and thank you for all your information.
Did I tell you I am so happy to have you back on air in Philadelphia? Awesome.
And help us get there, we've added two new tools. One, Americans can go to vaccines.gov, or they can text their zip code to 438-8829.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall on Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer.
Please, would you go find 300-3000, text Joe to 300, and I want that with that, and we're playing that forever, Fast Eddie. That's your assignment today. Telephone number 610. I didn't hear that yesterday. Biden was giving out zip codes. Text 433. Text 0330 3. I tell you what, when that poor bastard has to read numbers from a teleprompter, it's bad. It never works out. text Joe to 3003. No, like, you know, it's like somebody spilled water on the motherboard. Oh, 3000.
You can text their zip code to 3, excuse me, misspoke. Their zip code, text it to 438829.
6 5 8 6 7 5 3 0 9. Oh boy. You gotta laugh at it, folks. If you don't laugh, you'll cry. 610, although it doesn't really matter if I give you this, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. That does matter. You can stream us online. We're apparently having phone issues, ladies and gentlemen, which was unbeknownst to me until about mid-show yesterday. We're working on the problem. So I do apologize if you've been trying to contact the show over the last couple of days and have been unsuccessful. We haven't quit. We are still here and doing the show every day. Fast Eddie is not union, so he's not in there napping. I know that. We're doing our best to figure it out, folks. So thank you for your patience. You can always contact me via email if you'd like. Go to chrisstegall.com where our daily podcast resides. You can send me a note. In fact, I'm doing mailbag today in the podcast. At least once a week in the podcast, I answer mailbag. Either about the radio show or about the podcast or both. And so if you have an observation or a thought about anything you hear, you can send me an email directly at chrisstegall.com. And I hope you will check out the daily podcast, too. Still to come, Colonel Kurt Schlichter at the bottom of this hour. Tony Bruno at 8 o'clock. He'll have plenty to say about Philadelphia's reopening and the DA primary next week. Tuesday's it. Folks, Tuesday's the show. It's the whole shooting match. It's the whole ball of wax. There's nothing more to talk about after Tuesday as it relates to Pennsylvania's future, as far as I'm concerned. If you can't oust a radical like Larry Krasner, and if you can't get constitutional amendments passed to say no more Tom Wolf emergency edicts, limitless edicts for over a year, if those things can't happen, look, I'm not going to say all is lost. It's going to be, I'll be very pessimistic. I'll put it to you that way. Because that says to me that the motivation is exclusively on one side, and it's clearly not ours. I choose to believe that's not true. I choose to believe the motivation is on our side, that we're done, that even people who are typically apolitical or maybe even lean left realize that Tom Wolf can't be allowed, no governor should be allowed, be he Republican, be she Democrat. Whoever is elected after Tom Wolf, no governor should be allowed to do what Tom Wolf's been allowed to do without checks and balances of our elected representatives. So a simple yes vote on question one and question two next week, next Tuesday on your ballot, a simple yes vote on question one, question two, makes sure that no governor will ever be allowed to do this again after 3 weeks. They get 3 weeks, and that's plenty. 3 weeks is plenty of time for a governor to say, I'm locking down the state. After 3 weeks, a governor has to go to your elected representative and say, I'd like to continue to lock down the state. At that point, your elected representatives become responsible. They have some buy-in because they'll have heard from you and they'll have heard from business owners. And they'll say, hey, this lockdown does not need to continue. Or, oh, it's bad out here. Continue the lockdown, representative. And then they sign off. They take a vote. Everyone can see in the sunlight and the transparency of the day. We can all understand what's going on and why. Because everybody signed off. The legislature signed off. The governor signed off. And they said, yes, we need more emergency restrictions beyond this 3 weeks. Or the legislature can say, no. We've heard from our constituents. We've studied this. We don't think your emergency orders need to continue beyond this three-week period. We won't allow it. Imagine if Tom Wolf had been told no. Imagine where we'd be if the legislature could have stopped and told Tom Wolf no, which has been the problem since the election, hasn't it? It's been a running theme in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, a Republican majority in the legislature who can't stop the executive from doing anything. who can't stop the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania from doing anything. The judicial and the executive have run roughshod over you and me, and our duly elected representatives, the people closest to you and me, have been rendered moot, impotent. Can't do a thing about it. We've just all had to sit around and watch it. So, Tuesday's your chance to finally flip the script here a little bit and tell the legislature, no, you're in charge. You get to sign off on whether or not these lockdowns continue after 3 weeks. This is simple. This is not even politics. And anybody that fights it, anybody that's against it, I would really question their motives. Anyone that would dare vote no on question one and question two is a partisan fraud. They don't care about the people. They don't care about commerce. They don't care about the free market. They don't care about putting people to work. They don't care about minority kids being in school. They care about centralizing their power. I don't care if you're an independent. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. If you can't say yes to question one and question two next week, you're not on the side of the citizenry of Pennsylvania. Period. I don't know what you are. I don't know what your motives are, but it's not American. That's for damn sure. Speaking of un-American, speaking of limitless, Philadelphia. Limitless executive authority. Limitless executive orders on lockdowns. And despite what Pennsylvania's done, which is peel back. I'm getting confused. It's hard to even keep up anymore. I had people reaching out yesterday saying, oh, Chris, the restrictions and Memorial Day and when's Memorial Day, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. All I know is we should be out of this by now. Other states have done it well before now. So Memorial Day, after Memorial Day, pre-Memorial Day weekend, June 11th, move the jump down, turn around, pick a bale of cotton, hop on one foot, do the hokey pokey. I'm so tired. I can't keep it straight anymore, Fast Eddie. We're now working with two dates in Philadelphia, in addition to the date Tom Wolf set. So, I don't know. Maybe you've been paying closer attention than me. I've stopped listening to these people. So, let's try to sort this out here. Herr Wolf, our esteemed Führer of the Commonwealth, has said that Pennsylvania, in mass, at large, is restriction-free except masks after Memorial Day weekend. True?
Yes.
Monday after Memorial Day.
He says Memorial Day, yeah.
On Memorial Day, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, which does no business any damn good. On a huge, huge holiday weekend, which starts Friday and goes through Monday, telling everybody they're free to go on the Monday, the last day of a long kickoff to summer holiday weekend. That does nobody any good, but all right. The Führer has said, all restrictions lifted, all capacity restrictions lifted. There are no restrictions, period, as far as Herr Wolf is concerned, as of Memorial Day in Pennsylvania at large.
That's how I took it, yes.
That said, the toilet czar and his little deputy dope in the health department, Tom Farley, they have their own plans.
Yep, from NBC, on Friday, June 11th, Philadelphia will drop all capacity-related restrictions on businesses and activities and fully reopen our economy, Jim Kenney announced during a highly anticipated Zoom news briefing yesterday.
Two key dates. May 21st is something. That's when they will end the requirement that booze can't be served without food. That's still a thing in Philadelphia for real?
Yeah.
Is that right? Thomas Farley announcing yesterday, the city will lift density limits on offices, stores, museums, and libraries starting May 21st, when it will also end the requirement that booze can't be served without food. The city's announcement represents a major step in advance of June 11th, when it will terminate all capacity limits. That would be 12 days after Herr Wolf retires its limits for the other 66 counties. So, I'm trying to follow this. the Sixers announced that they will increase capacity at the Wells Fargo Center to 50% for the first round of the NBA playoffs to about 10,000 fans starting May 22nd. So that's the day after the density limits. They're going to allow, what, 50% capacity? Is that it then?
Yep, 50% capacity. That's what the stadiums will be capped at.
On May 21st. So 50% at Citizens Bank Park, 50% at Wells Fargo Center, May 21st.
Yep, with a minimum of 3 feet of space rather than 6 feet. Masks still must be worn.
Still mask.
Yes.
Text 304.
.gov.
6 feet, 4. Skip to my loo. We are such a stupid people. And I don't mean you and me, but I'm talking about the people governing you and me. We are living through the stupidest of times, folks. Someday, historians will write about how stupid all of this is, I'm convinced. Or the opposite, and there's no hope left for humanity, and it just gets worse from here. I don't know which. I'm hopeful that people, historians, will write about this period of time and laugh at us. Like, you know, like when we used to bleed people, put leeches on them.
They're going to bleed us out.
Yeah, I hope that people someday laugh at what we're doing like we laugh at old medicine. You know, the snake oil guys used to sell elixirs and tonics and bleed people out, saw off limbs, here's some whiskey, that kind of stuff, Civil War era medicine. That's what it feels like we're living through right now.
The good stuff.
It's just we're living through pseudo-science babble that makes no damn sense. 3 feet instead of 6 feet. All right, so June 11th, we can resume our lives entirely, even in Philadelphia. June 11th is the magic date.
That's it.
But you still got to wear the masks.
Yes.
That expressly say on the box they don't do a damn thing to protect you from anything anyway. All right. Getting there, folks. This is Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Testosterone-filled Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. We just talked with Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. We have Colonel Kurt Schlichter on the way at 7:30 and Tony Bruno at 8 o'clock. Not to mention a healthy dose of masculinity from your host. The one everybody's listening to, the one everyone wants to be, but they cannot. My name's Chris DeGaulle. Glad to be with you. Telephone number 610-850-0990. Well, at least in the broadcast industry. I'm not suggesting you want to be, but everybody in my business wants to be. Trust me. Never has there been more attention paid to this show than there is right now.
Yeah, man.
Never. More ears listening intently on every move than ever before. For good reason.
Where are you going to go next?
You got to learn. You got to listen and learn. 610-850-0990. You could listen online at 990theanswer.com. I don't know why we're concerned about vaccinating Philadelphia police. Aren't they rotten and awful anyway? We don't want them around.
Yeah, you figure the criminals would want them to get coronavirus. Right.
Right? Who cares whether the cops are vaccinated? Who cares? Well, the Inquirer very concerned. There are too many cops and firefighters in Philadelphia that won't get this vaccine now. Anna Orso, Jason Laughlin, Philadelphia Inquirer, nearly half of the fire and police workers are unvaccinated in Philadelphia. How dare they? I'm sorry, when did the Inquirer start to care about the health of the police officer? Don't they deserve to be beaten within an inch of their life because, you know, they're predators out murdering? I should think we should celebrate them getting sick and with a potentially deadly disease. Of course, I'm being tongue-in-cheek here, but when did we start caring about cops? Philadelphia Firefighters Local 22, which represents about 2,800 firefighters and EMTs, reported 51% of their members have been vaccinated. The FOP, Lodge 5, reported 3,562 members have been vaccinated. That's more than half the force, but the union did not offer any demographic breakdowns of that number and was not able to distinguish between officers and civilian employees. You see, the Inquirer wants to know how many people of color in the police force got the vaccine versus how many of those white cracker Trump supporters probably aren't getting the vaccine. See, they want to know. They want to dig down deep in the numbers. Now they get very analytical. Now they want to know, you know, they want to get their fingers dirty and really do some reporting. I want to know of these 3,500 cops, demographics, who's getting it and who's not. Huh? Because you know what they want to establish. How many white Trump vote, and we know cops. We know who supports cops, and we know who the cops support. We know this FOP was pro-Trump. So we want to know just how many of you white Trump-loving cops have refused this vaccine. Because we want to write the story that there are a bunch of science-denying pro-Trump cracker cops out there trying to kill black people in our city. That's their angle. Let's just be honest. That's what they're trying to write. Interestingly, though, just yesterday, in the very same inky version of this paper, they were lamenting that black people don't want this vaccine either. They can't get the black folks, the majority of the population in Philadelphia, to come get the vaccine. Why? All of them say the same thing. You know what it turns out? It really has nothing to do with skin color. It turns out the American people, regardless of their gender or their sexuality or their skin color, they don't trust public health officials in this country. That's what it turns out is true. And rather than you running around and shaming and investigating and trying to come to conclusions about which group of people, which skin color of people, which gender of people are refusing to get the vaccine, why don't you just acknowledge and admit what we all know is true? We don't trust the institutional leadership of this city and, frankly, this country. We don't trust it. The American people do not trust their institutions. They don't trust Jim Kenney or Thomas Farley. They don't trust Joe Biden or Dr. Fauci. They don't trust Governor Wolf or Cousin It, who used to be our health secretary, or the new babe who's an actual woman that's our new health secretary. We don't trust these people. And it doesn't matter our party or our race or our gender or our sexuality. We don't trust them. We don't believe they're looking out for our best interests anymore. And so it's not hard to understand. I think the one common thing that we all share in common as a country anymore is our total lack of trust in institutional leadership in this country. It may be the only thing that unites us as a country is the fact that our institutional leaders have failed and are failing. I don't blame black people in this country for not wanting this damn vaccine. By the way, I don't blame you if you went to get it. It's okay with me. My parents got it. I know lots of people that did. In fact, Christine, my wife, she believes that she's probably one of the few women of her circle of friends that didn't get it. She's concluded that most of her friends have. And that she may be an outlier. But the very idea that you have a question, that you want to raise question, that you want to ask questions, you want to have a dialogue about safety, efficacy, how long does it last? Do I need it again next year? What are we talking about? I have questions. Shut up, you anti-vaxxer, you anti-science person, you shut up and go get your vaccine. You're not one of those science deniers, are you? You shut up and get your vaccine. Why are you so hostile? How about you address why people are concerned? You know, you read a little deeper in this story. The agency believes, this is the firefighters now, believes the actual number of employees vaccinated significantly higher, likely close to half. The agency gets 100 to 300 new forms for the $100 incentive submitted each week. I'm talking about SEPTA now. But they don't know. Nealon, who is Nealon here? I just had this name a minute ago. Sorry. Skipping ahead. I think Nealon's with the Firefighters Union. I think I'm right about that. Nealon said he didn't know why. No, sorry. Must be with the police. Doesn't know why officers chose not to get vaccines. McQuilkin said he thought messaging around the vaccines played a role. I think this McQuilkin is the firefighter guy. Yep, sorry. Nealon is the FOP. This McQuilkin guy is the firefighter union vice president. Sorry, I had lots of names here to sort out. But anyway, my point is that the story is about why cops and firefighters and SEPTA employees aren't getting it. So here's what the firefighters representative said. He thinks messaging around the vaccines plays a role. While two firefighters have died from COVID, he said, his members don't deny the virus's seriousness. But he says public health messaging has led to a lack of urgency among firefighters. Direct quote here now from the firefighters representative. They're confusing people to the point where, what's the point? Why should I get a vaccine if I still have to live the same way I'm living now? That's the firefighters union representative asking a very sensible question. This is why I say, these questions unite us all as Americans. This COVID thing may actually unite us all. It may be the one thing that sane, logical thinking Americans are all united on, regardless of how you voted in this last election. We may all agree. Why get the vaccine if we have to continue to live under the lock and key of edicts of mayors and governors? We're all united in that question. You won't let me live. Grandpa keeps coming out and wearing a mask despite the fact he's been vaccinated and everyone around him's been vaccinated. Why should I go get this damn thing if there's even question about it, if I still have to continue to conduct my life the exact same way? You know, the fastest way to get people to go get this vaccine is if you'd said, get it and we're done with restrictions, period. Get it and we're done. Get it and you're free. Get it, your kids go back to school. Get it, you can go to a ball game. Get it, no masks. Get it, going to Wawa, no mat, whatever. Like, the fastest way to get everybody to participate is to say, you're free to go. But the fact is, it was never about that. That was never true, and we know why. Because this is a virus. This is not a vaccine that will protect you indefinitely from this virus. This virus is like the flu. This is a flu shot, folks. This is a fancy flu shot. And people will still contract it and will still get it. Maybe not as severely, but they will. And you'll have to get a booster COVID shot. I'm confident of it. Go ahead and mark it down as a prediction. And people have written me and they said, we don't know that. You can't say that. How dare you say? Okay, you want to bet me? $100 on the table right now. Within a calendar year, you're going to hear about how important it is if you got your COVID vaccine this month. You're going to need to get a booster. Want to bet? Who wants to bet against me? Any takers? And that's fine. But this is my point. Be honest. Be honest with the people about what we're doing. And you wouldn't have so much hesitancy. Don't expect us, like lemmings and sheep, to just fall in line without question and do what you order. And you think you're going to shame us into behaving the way you want? To hell with you.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer is streaming live on 990theanswer.com.
Colonel Kurt Schlichter out there on the West Coast. He was commuting yesterday, and I said, you know, it's been a while since you and I have caught up. I'd love to pick your brain on a few things. He said, give me a call. So I did.
How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for being willing to join us today on the show. I love when Colonel's on the road, I always know we've got a free moment to talk. You're driving in between important legal appointments, I would assume.
I am driving between important legal appointments. I'm heading into Orange County the legendary Orange County. I'm becoming tanner, I'm becoming blonder, and I'm becoming much more superficial.
Now, the last time you and I talked, I got to break the news to you that Caitlyn Jenner was running for governor in California. You dismissed it at the time, and I wonder, have you changed your mind some 2 or 3 weeks later since we last spoke about it?
No, I still think the whole thing's a ridiculous novelty act. It delights the liberals because it makes everything into a joke. It delights some of the never Trump types because Jenner will say, you know, we'll again follow that lead. Oh, I think Trump's a problem. We're beyond Trump. That's the latest. That's today's. And it's ridiculous. Now, he's, you know, Jenner, as ridiculous as he is not as ridiculous as the guy walking around, you know, the rich super funder with his alive bear. And his thing is, I'm dead serious. So, somebody talked him into this. Here's the plan. Okay. Gavin Newsom, he's the beauty, right? You're the beast. And we'll get a bear. Because California is a bear state.
Is that really? That's happening? That's a thing? Yeah, for real?
I'm dead serious. Dead serious. He's driving around. And he's, I mean, it's John Cox. He was in the last campaign. You know, he didn't get zero votes. He's a zillionaire. He's running around. You know, I keep getting these announcements. The Beast Tour is coming to Pomona.
No.
You know, Rancho Cucamonga. And he's like, he's got the bear with him. Come see the bear.
Yes. Who do you like that? Is there anybody serious? It always feels like there's a nonsensical 19-way primary in California. Is there anyone serious?
Well, Kevin Falconer is serious. Rick Grinnell is kind of out there. Will he or won't he? Of course, you know, if Rick goes in, I'm all for it because I'm Rick's biggest supporter on earth, having worked with him in Nevada to fight the rigged election. Oh, am I allowed to say that, or is that an insurrection? It's the big lie, Chris! It's the big lie! Everything was right about the election! 2016, no Russians did it! Back by 2020, that was a perfect election! A big lie! Sorry.
What is the big lie? I've noticed that's a new phraseology that's entered the left's lexicon. Yeah, what is that?
You remember Mean Girls where the girl goes, that's so fetch. And she goes, stop saying fetch. Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
That's like Latinx, right? Same thing, kind of a thing, or yeah. Latinx or whatever they call it. Yeah.
Latinx, yeah. Yeah, come up to my wife and call her Latinx. Double down. Wear a Shay t-shirt. There's a plan. That's going to work out for you.
So the big lie is like a hook they're trying to use now. That's their throwaway line for
the election? It's capitalized, too. Yeah. Anybody who has any questions about the rigged election, and it was a rigged election. There was cheating. The question is how much.
Yes.
There were BS changes to laws that should not have been made and were improper. And, of course, the Supreme Court, because it wants to maintain the dignity of the institution, isn't going to wade into that. Finally, there were a media that was all in for one party, a tech industry that was all in one party. You put it together, it's a rigged election, and we're led by President Asterisk, who is now bringing back last week. Coincidence, Chris? Last week, he goes with tiny Jimmy Carter and gets his picture taken. Finally finding somebody older than him. And then this week, we've got gas lines and inflation.
Yeah. Now, the president, former president, Donald Trump, issued a statement yesterday. The major Michigan election fraud case has just filed a bombshell pleading claiming votes were intentionally switched from Trump to Biden. Number of votes is massive and determinative. This will prove true in numerous other states. Republicans must unify, not let this happen. If a thief robs a jewelry store, all of its diamonds, the diamonds must be returned. The fake news media refuses to cover the greatest election fraud in the history of the country. They've lost all credibility, but ultimately they will have no choice. So Trump is saying there's irrefutable evidence in Michigan. Is that what you're hearing? Do you think he's true? that he can't ignore it?
I haven't heard anything like that. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Well, you and I talked about...
It's not like they're going to go, Trump's president now. It's just not going to happen. Okay? I know Mike Lindell's very, very focused on it, but it isn't going to happen.
Lindell keeps telling Steve Bannon by August or something that Trump will be back. I don't know how he gets there, but...
I like his pillows. I've got his pillows.
Just to be clear on this and put a bow on it, Sidney Powell ended up just be clowning herself, right? She ended up completely lying or telling people she made up the whole Kraken thing, the whole Dominion voting machine thing. She made that up, or where was that left ultimately?
I'm not really sure because I stopped listening to it because it was so intensely stupid.
Yeah.
The thing is, there were real problems with the election.
Of course.
I saw them. Some had to do with cheating. Some had to do with rigging rules. Some had to do with informal breaking of cultural norms about companies and media groups weighing in for one party. So you had that kind of, you had real problems with all those three
constitutional
things.
Violations, big time constitutional violations, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you get Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood showing up. I gotta release the Kraken. You know, the mind control lasers, and it's just stupid, and it made us all look like idiots.
Yeah.
And I just, I've got no use for any of them.
You know the work of Julie Kelly, who's magnificent at American greatness,
yeah,
and I know you're a fan. We love her. She has been, more than any other member of commentary out there, or whatever you want to call it, journalism, what she does has been on this, like, white on rice, if I could say that, is the people that were part of January 6th were basically mostly guilty of trespassing, and many of them have been held without formal charges for months and months. That's stunning.
This is an absolute disgrace on every level. This is totalitarian crap. It is disgusting. The judicial system has absolutely failed. In fact, it is joined in this ridiculous charade. When President DeSantis comes in, he should, A, fire the entire leadership of the Department of Justice and FBI. Fire anybody who had anything to do with these atrocities. I mean, anybody. I mean, if you freaking delivered the mail.
What ultimately should...
demand a huge, not only demand a huge investigation into it, but direct that the Department of Justice settle the claims of these people, because their civil rights have been grotesquely violated, to keep people in solitary confinement pre-trial because of essentially trespassing is outrageous. And what it is, it's an attempt to make us scared and make us frightened to dissent. And we can't tolerate this.
Isn't it? It's a frustrating confluence of events. I was just talking about it on the show this week. That obviously we see the chaos around us. I want to get into some of it. Just in 100 days, Biden has, you know, it's been a disaster. We all see it. We know that this guy's not running anything. But
yeah, he's already Jimmy Carter.
That's right. But for you and I, what they've so artfully done, Kurt, is they've made it sound like for any of us to rise up and challenge it is to be January 6th and the big lie. I mean, they've really artfully done that.
Good, fine. I'm going to, Biden's incompetent and he's a corrupt scumbag. Now I'm an insurrectionist. Okay, fine. He's still corrupt. He's still a scumbag. I don't give a crap what they say.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep an FCC compliant, baby.
Well, but I just ask. Is it work? The question is it working with the American public?
No, I don't think it is. I think, first of all, you know, anybody who had their TV on over the last year looks at January 6th and goes, second tier football playoff victory after party. Oh, except for the part where the federal agent shot and murdered the unarmed trespasser.
Yeah.
That part, that was a little worse. By the way, what's his name? Oh, well, none of our glorious firefighting media seem to care. I mean, they just kill a woman for standing there, but that's okay, because, you know, she might have liked Q or something. you.
Tell me what you think about the Rudy Giuliani raid as a legal matter. I haven't talked to you since then.
It's just the same thing. Raiding a lawyer's office. Taking nearly everything. Of course, they don't take Hunter Biden stuff.
No.
They don't want that. Look, they are coming very close to literal fascism, and that's not going to end well. if you break all the rules, aren't there to protect guys like me. They're there to protect people like them. And if they get rid of the rules, I've seen when it's the bottom of the slippery slope.
COVID is another element of this discussion, Kurt, that they have so artfully used in the last year, like a control mechanism, and they saw how well it worked in the election that they're obviously at this hour trying to federalize it. They passed it in the House. I don't think the Senate will pass it, but boy, they'd like to try to make what happened in November 2020 the law of the land permanently. Drop boxes, unsupervised counts, mail-in ballots. That's where they want to take the whole country for the election, right?
I don't think that's going to work. I don't think it'll pass the Senate. I don't think it would survive the Supreme Court.
You hope, if they hear it, right?
Well, I hope. Yeah. Roberts. if I uphold the Constitution, it's going to be super awkward at the country club.
This pipeline deal. This is, to me, it's chilling. I mean, we talked to the Secretary of Energy, the Trump's Secretary of Energy, Burriette, and I said, when is this bad? And he said, by week's end. Like, if they don't have this solved and the thing back on by week's end, it'll get bad quick. Like, that kind of chilled me. Nobody's really saying that yet, but that's true.
Well, the fact is our infrastructure is unbelievably exposed, which is, allows us foreign enemies and domestic issues. We have gone on so long living with our norms that everything is stable, everything is safe. But if you have an enemy coming in and doing things to you, do you think the Chinese haven't noticed that we have these pipelines?
Uh-huh. Well, and some speculate it was China.
And ransomware, guys.
Right.
Well, maybe it was.
Yeah, not Russia at all. That Russia has been this weird scapegoat of the lefts, but maybe Russia's kind of pretty impotent these days. Do you think Russia's impotent, or are they still a threat?
No, Russia's not impotent, but it's not a superpower. Of course, Biden is dumb enough to get us in a war with him over Ukraine. Hey, everybody, let's send your kids to die for Ukraine. So here are a bunch of name tapes. Well, look, one says Cheney. Won't be needing this.
You want to hear the remainder of that fantastic conversation? It continued on for another 10 minutes or so. He was barely FCC compliant for the second half, so that's why we've moved it to the podcast. That'll be part of the Chris Stigall Show podcast today. Subscribe. Listen. I hope you will each and every day. ChrisStigall.com. You can listen to it straight from that site, or you can download and listen every day. I hope you'll subscribe at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You'll enjoy it. Hope you'll leave it a 5-star review and a written review in Apple iTunes. That would be helpful. Tony Bruno on deck at 8 o'clock on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer.
Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Listen live everywhere at 990theanswer.com.
Jimmy Johnson on Fox this morning talking about the NFL. They're doing something interesting, the NFL. They're, as only the NFL can do, they're leaking the schedule out, starting this morning on the morning shows. You know, they make a big primetime reveal of it at night on ESPN and the NFL Network, but they're doing something new this year, and they're leaking it out to the morning show. So Fox and Friends this morning has Jimmy Johnson on, as the Fox NFL people are leaking Week 1's schedule now.
Wow.
So they're leaking Week 1, and then tonight they're going to reveal the rest of the schedule. See how they're doing it? So a little teaser. Week 1, by the way, for your Eagles at Atlanta to start the season. How do you feel about that?
I feel good about that one.
All right. So your Philadelphia Eagles kick off the season in Atlanta. Jimmy says he likes that new receiver they drafted down there, Pitts.
Yeah.
He gives them the edge. That's what Jimmy said. So anyway, week one, the schedule's being released now. Tony Bruno is just around the corner. Tony is a legendary sports talk host in this town. Now, the thing about Tony is, for those of you that go, I don't want to hear you talk about sports. I know, but Tony, if you don't know Tony lately, if you don't know the new incarnation of Tony Bruno since he's kind of left the sports talk scene full-time, I think he still does it on this. I'm not really clear what... Tony has hopped in and out of about 30 different jobs since he left the radio full-time in this town. And it's because of things he stepped into and people have... He's parted ways. He's like, I don't need... I think Tony's to a point in his life, and I really respect this. By the way, this is every broadcaster's dream, to do this job when you want to. And if it becomes too big a pain in the rump, you say, no, thank you. And we're in a day and an age where we're all walking a high wire. You know, some of us, we... do it. We love it. I think everybody in this business loves it. But there are those of us that do it to make a living. And then there are those of us that do it purely for fun. I would like to get to a point where I'm doing this purely for fun. Where I don't have to worry about walking the high wire. Not that I'm going to set out intentionally to tick anybody off or break any rules. But that I can say, you know what, I don't need it. That's kind of where Tony is with things now. And he's not bashful about his politics these days. No. Which is sort of refreshing. So... yes, will we talk some sports, but Tony and his political point of view, particularly from South Philadelphia, you're going to love next.
WNTP Philadelphia. Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer. Download our free mobile app at 990theanswer.com. You live here. He lives here.
You are a role model for the rest of the media. You really do investigative reporting and informative interviews.
I absolutely love your show. Good morning, sir, and thank you for everything you do.
If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight.
Or they can text their zip code to their zip code, text it to 438829.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall on Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer.
A little past 8 o'clock. Glad to have you here. Telephone number 610-850-0990. Just be patient in there. I'll handle it.
I got excited.
610. Good Lord. 610-850-0990. Name on the door. 610-850-0990. I swear to God, one of these days I'm going to get control of this ship. I'm going to be captaining it again one day. I promise. Listen, I have to say that in all of social media right now, there are only a handful of people I really enjoy following. And this guy has now skyrocketed to the top of the charts as one of my favorites. Tony Bruno, who is now unleashed and free to say whatever he damn well pleases. And Tony, I just said during the last segment that you are now my inspiration. I hope that in my career I can get to a place where I really don't have to worry. I love doing this, but I want to get to a point where I don't have to worry about not doing it because I've been bullied, badgered, or harassed by the mob out of it. And that seems to be where you are. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you. Yes, it's great. Luckily, I was in the barn with Medina with Bob Baffert last week, and I ate some hay, and it somehow motivated me to go onward and upward and think of great things that make people laugh. That's my primary function in life at this juncture of my existence, Chris.
Where are you professionally? Seriously, and I don't mean to insult you, but I can't keep up. You hop from place to place more than any man I've ever watched. What are you doing now?
It's not that I hop. I sit at home, and I do my thing, remodel my house. Go down to Florida, buy a property on the water so I can escape eventually from all things Philadelphia, which I love and it will always be my hometown. But and I'm not moving to Florida, by the way, because of politics. I'm moving to Florida because it's smart. And I've always wanted to move to Florida and retire there. And I'm almost 69 years old, so I'm way behind the curve here. I should have retired 10 years ago in Florida, and then I could have done whatever I wanted from home. No, I was actually approached by this company called NoFilter.net, and it basically is constructed of all of the people in sports primarily and entertainment media who have been canceled from their previous jobs. Prominent hockey players, baseball players. You know, you look at the list of people on there. These are all people that made the mistake of having a job for a major network with NBC and others, who went on podcast and said something and then immediately got fired because you can't go on podcast and joke around about coworkers without losing your job. So anyway, that's what No Filter is. They called me. I'm one of 20 ambassadors, so I'm now vested, so to speak, if I could stay around a couple more years, and I'll sit back and say what I want. It's not about going crazy and saying salacious things or being irresponsible. You know, being in radio for 50 years, you know where the line is.
Yep.
The line keeps moving, but if you move the line, then you're no good. So I'm still trying to learn the rules after all these years, because if there still are no rules, the unwritten rules need to be written eventually.
Tony,
if I have time, and maybe I will when I retire, I'll write the official book of unwritten rules.
That'll be helpful.
Which will finally be written.
I can't wait to read it, because I need it too. Tony Bruto with us, who has been a legend in sports talk radio in Philadelphia and nationwide for a long, long time. You weren't political, and I think in sports talk, you always traditionally tried to avoid it. But it's funny to watch people who have known you and followed your career all these years. Because you didn't talk politics, it's like the minute you say anything that sounds even remotely not Democrat in this town, you know, you've joined the dark side or something. I wouldn't call you a flag-waving right-wing conservative by any means, but for some reason, a lot of your fans, they just cannot stand that you dare speak out against establishment politics in Philadelphia. That's my read, anyway.
No, it is. I mean, that's why I joke around about everything. You know, back in the day, people think if you don't denounce Trump even a year after he's gone almost, then you're a right winger and you're a white supremacist and you throw anything out there racist, all the other nonsense, the go-to cards. Those cards have been overplayed so much that holes have been punched into them and they're giving them away as souvenirs when you leave the casino. I mean, that's how overplayed that card is. So again, is there racism? Yes. You know, like yesterday, for example, Chris, I'll give you a good one. So Tim Tebow, you know, who obviously has tried to play baseball and was a good football player, won a Heisman Trophy, a couple of national championships, whatever. Excited people. He gets signed by his former college coach at Florida to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, he didn't get signed as a quarterback. He got signed as a tight end for a chance to make the team. So what happens when you mention Tim Tebow's name now in the world of sports? And I'm no Tim Tebow honk. You know, the guy was a good player. He was a great college player, had some success in the NFL. He wanted to be a baseball player. He tried out for the Mets, went to the minor leagues. He didn't demand to be put on the Mets major league roster. He went down there and played, and he wasn't good enough to be a major league baseball player. So he dabbles, he does what he wants to do. Now, all of a sudden, as soon as Tim Tebow gets signed by his former coach to bring him down to Tampa to try out, or down to Jacksonville to try out for tight end, which means he can play multiple positions and throw the football occasionally, sort of like the Saints do, with Taysom Hill, where he could be a quarterback, a tight end. So because Tim Tebow gets a chance to play tight end, Colin Kaepernick now is a guy that is still sitting at home making millions of dollars not playing football, and fortunately for him, not being able to go out there and play quarterback and failing miserably or succeeding. So he doesn't have to worry about producing anymore on the football field. He has his own life as an activist. Good for him. But as far as politics, my only political concern is what happens locally to where I live. I can't control what Biden or Trump or anybody else is doing in Washington. Nobody can. We sit back and what do? We wait to see what happens. I actually drove to Delaware yesterday to fill up my gas tank because I wanted to save 5 cents a gallon, and I didn't want to give the money to Tom Wolf or Phil Murphy. So I drove through Pennsylvania and New Jersey to go to Delaware to buy gas and fill up my tank because according to the New York Times, apparently, there are no lines at gas stations. Actually, there were lines at gas stations in Delaware last night.
Is that right?
But actually, there was gas, at least, because apparently Joe Biden made sure the pump stayed on in Wilmington or at Claymont, actually, which is the closest. If you're looking for the closest line of demarcation to go from Philadelphia directly to Delaware for no tax spending, just go to Claymont. Go 95 south. Get off at the Neyman's Road exit. Fill up your gas tank. Go in and buy some stuff, and don't pay taxes.
I love it.
That's how you escape the politics. But locally, I digress. Locally, You know, I've been a registered independent for probably 15 years. When I moved to L.A., I became a registered independent. So I don't want to be a link to any party. I'm not a Republican. I've never been registered Republican. I've been an independent. And I went last week, and I actually online, I didn't have to go anywhere. I did it from home. I changed my party registration to Democrat, which I've been most of my life. So I can vote against Larry Krasner.
Well, this is why I wanted to talk to you, Tony Bruno. By the way, I'm going to call you Tony Duty-Free Bruno from now on. I like
duty
that.
Duty-free. Well, it's not duty-free. Tax-free.
Tax-free. That's right. Sorry. Tony the tax absconder. You are getting involved in registering for a party because of this DA's race. And it's notable to me that of all the Democrats, organized known Democrats in this town, names you know well for a long time, the only prominent one to actually come out and say, I am not for Krasner, I am for Vega, we've got to change course, is just yesterday, Ed Rendell. Why Why are establishment Democrats in this town, long-tenure Democrats, afraid to speak out against Krasner?
I don't know. I mean, obviously because he's got power. The thing about Larry Krasner, I don't know the guy, I haven't met the guy, I live in the city. You know, I see what happens every night, I hear what happens every night, I read what happens every night. The problem is, you know, I'm not blaming Larry Krasner. The DA is not going to stop gun violence. The DA is not going to stop anything. But this DA doesn't seem to care about Philadelphia. I remember when the presidential race was going on, I remember Krasner and the mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney, going to New England, going up to New Hampshire, and stumping. You know who they were stumping for? Elizabeth Warren. And so they don't even like Joe Biden. And they're about the socialist agenda that is very obvious in this country, and it's coming from one party. Again, it's not my fault that Democrats want to do this stuff. You know, the Republicans aren't great either, but the Democrats are in control now, and to suggest that you can't criticize Democrats. So here in Philly, which is remarkable, we have Democrat-on-Democrat hate now, because Republicans, obviously, are switching to go vote. We saw the numbers. They're switching their party affiliation so they can vote against Krasner. Because everybody in Philly knows that John Legend, even though he went to school here, doesn't live in Philadelphia, and he wants to get involved. So my point is, Krasner is trying to woo the national crowd. This is a local city election. This isn't the presidential election. This isn't a congressional seat. This is the DA's office. And we all know that you look around the country at the DAs, whose cities are completely out of control, and most of them are George Soros-installed puppets who do what they're told. And then you have Helen, Jim, and all these other local hacks who also, again, don't care about the local city but seem to want to play up to the national crowd. This isn't a national city. This is Philadelphia. If you want to represent the city, you represent the people who live here. And so all of the international and national people pumping money into Krasner, that to me is offensive. Because, Greg, you get John Legend and you can get athletes who don't even live here anymore telling you how you should vote in your city. I'm not telling anybody how to vote. You vote whatever you want. But I'll tell you what, I know who I'm voting for, and I don't even know Carlos Vega, but Ed Rendell endorsed him because Ed Rendell hired him a while back when district attorneys were actually prosecutors, not ambulance-chasing defense attorneys, with all due respect to ambulance-chasing defense attorneys.
Tony Bruno, I have to ask you about this story today. Front page, Philadelphia Inquirer, police and fire crews skipping vaccines. Big expose about the Inquirer's concern that our cops and firefighters in Philadelphia are not getting the COVID shot to the level that they'd like at the Inquirer. And I wonder what your position is. I haven't heard you talk about this vaccine. Where are you on that?
Well, I was scheduled to get one. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, so for all you people out there who are ready to call in and or go on Twitter and say, "Oh, you're an anti-vaxxer! Oh, yeah, you're killing people." First of all, I'm going to be 69, so I'm in the vulnerable category, right? So I'm worried about people killing me. I'm not worried about me killing anybody because I've been tested multiple times. I'm not anti-vax. My doctor actually moved locations. Then my mom died, and so with my attempts to go get a vaccine have so far been fruitless, but I have an appointment on Monday. So I don't want to get as soon as I get off here and have people call you and text you and go on Twitter at Tony Bruno Show, by the way, on Twitter and say, "Oh, yeah, Tony, you're one of those maggots. You're one of those people who wants to kill grandmom." Well, I'm a grandpa. Do I want to kill myself?
Does it,
as bad as things are, no, I don't want to kill myself or anybody else.
You're going to get it, but you, what do you say to me if I say I'm not nuts about getting it? How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm not crazy about it either. Not because I don't think it works. I mean, obviously there was, but the thing that bothers me, Chris, the most about it, is I heard a doctor the other day, a real doctor, not Bill Gates, not Joe Rogan, not anybody who's not a doctor, but just people with opinions, which we all have. I heard a real doctor saying, you know, as a doctor, when people come into my office, like I'm going to my doctor Monday, it's not even a virtual one. I'm actually going into an office. I know it's hard to believe. Yes, and I will wear 3 masks. And I'll go in there and make sure nobody gets sick because I'm not sick because I get tested all the time. And I see my grandson, who's a year old.
Yeah.
So I know I'm safe. I know I try to do all the right things.
So,
but anyway,
yeah.
I've been hesitant only because I don't know what the long-term effects are. And people are saying, even my son said, what do you mean the long-term effects? You're old. Yeah, so I'm worried about myself. Well, I'm worried about other people.
Look,
but I know I don't have it.
I think it's,
I will take the vaccine,
yeah.
But I'm 69. I'm worried about, like, my daughter-in-law, who's pregnant again.
Sure,
her taking the vaccine. Do you know what's going to happen 5 years from now?
Not at all. Do you get the flu shot annually, by chance?
No, I don't get the flu shot either.
Yeah.
Because
every
time I got the flu shot when I was taking it, I would get sick. I know I'm going to get the flu anyway, and I know I'm going to survive the flu. Now the pneumonia shot is the one, Chris.
Yeah.
If you're older like I am, this is my tip for the day, as the old green grocer Joe Carcione, may he rest in peace, used to say. This is Joe Carcione, your green grocer, with your tip for the day. I would say go in, get the pneumonia shot if you're older. Because more likelihood, if you're old and you become sick, not of COVID, of any kind of sickness, even the flu, your likelihood of dying from pneumonia is greater than your likelihood of dying from COVID-19. And I'm not even a doctor, and I know that. Even my doctor told me that.
And if you can get the pneumonia shot in Delaware, all the better. No, I'm
kidding. Well, I don't
know.
It's free anywhere. I don't have to drive to Delaware for that. I will drive to Delaware to save 10 cents a gallon on gasoline. And they still have gasoline. So despite what the New York Times is still saying, there are lines at some places around the country. And yes, pipelines, private or public, I believe are still infrastructure. Because, you know, we had the infrastructure debate about a month ago.
Yes.
You know, what's infrastructure? I believe your infrastructure, Chris, I believe Eddie Caiazzo, is infrastructure.
Without a doubt.
But that pipeline that's providing gasoline and oil and fuel to the eastern seaboard, that apparently is not infrastructure.
I have to ask you quickly about a couple of shopkeeping items, sports-related, because that is your bailiwick, after all. The opening of the Wells Fargo Center to 50% capacity, does that matter when you're talking about the Sixers in postseason play? Does crowd matter in terms of people attending games and watching them to the players on the field, whether that's football, baseball, or in the Wells Fargo Arena? Does that matter?
Yeah, I think it matters in the playoffs, especially in this city, where playoffs have been few and far between for the most part. I mean, the Sixers with a full building, that place will be rocking because they're great at home. You know, and the Phillies, for example, they're going to have 50%. The Flyers, by the way, will have 0% capacity as the ice has been melted. And the teeth, I can hear some of the Flyers keying off right about now. Did you hear that? That was a nice drive. I hear it from Ramblewood Country Club over in New Jersey. I think Claude Giroux just nailed one right down the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, that was a disappointing conclusion to a promising
early
start.
And I'm a Flyers fan, by the way. I'm not one guy who likes this.
Yeah.
I love all sports, so don't come at me. I've been a Flyers fan since the 60s when they came into the league. That's how old I am.
It was an ugly end. So but this idea that we're going to do 50% capacity starting May, I don't know, 21st, and then June 11th, full capacity with masks on. I love taking it a ball game. I'm not sitting outside wearing a mask. I'm not doing it. I'm just not.
I'm not either. I sit at home and watch a mask to make people feel safer than I'm watching the Phillies on cozy TV. I get cozied up. I put on cozy TV. First, I get upset that they're not running like the Munsters reruns, which I love. Have you watched cozy TV?
Sure.
It's up there like with Me TV
and cozy TV. I went down the rabbit hole of the first Bewitched, the pilot episode of Bewitched the other day. I'd never seen that, and I was watching like 4 episodes deep in Bewitched. To hell.
And the best part about those channels,
yeah,
you can get one of those $10 antennas at Walmart and Walgreens and put it up on your roof and even hold it out your window and get cozy TV for free. So if you're looking to cut the cord and save some money so you can buy gas this summer to drive down to the shore, get one of them cheap antennas and get yourself cozy and all those other
things. Yeah, we're regressing. That's what we're doing. We're regressing. We're moving out into the wilderness with antennas and watching old television as a society. That's what we're doing. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. We love kicking it old school. Now we're going back to the 70s. In fact, I can remember the 70 gas crisis. I don't know when there's a gas crisis. Hopefully they get this pipeline fixed. Whatever the hell happened to them. I remember the old days, so I saved an odd and an even Pennsylvania license plate. I'm prepared just in case we go to, back to odd, even rationing days at the gas station. I have an odd number plate and an even number plate. And if you're old enough to remember that, congratulations. You remember those days?
No, I wasn't around for those, fortunately, I guess. But I'm living them now, perhaps, it looks like. Tony Bruno, I'll close by asking you this. If you were to put your money on one of the four major sports franchises to win the next playoff, or I should say win the next championship in their respective sport, which one are you betting on of the four right now?
Well, it's the Sixers right now. The Sixers are the best team, not just in Philadelphia, but they're the best team in the Eastern Conference of the NBA. So if they don't get to the finals, as the Eastern Conference representative, that would be a major disappointment, I think, for all fans. So I think the Sixers, if they don't, I don't know about winning a championship. I mean, LeBron is obviously can't play. His ankle is still not healing, and they're saving him for the playoffs. But, you know, the Lakers, with a healthy LeBron, obviously are a contender, and they can win. Excuse me, but there's a lot of good teams in the West. In the East, there's some good teams, Milwaukee, of course, and, you know, Brooklyn, obviously. But the Sixers right now are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. So if they don't make it to the finals, that will be a major, major disappointment. Who knows? The Phillies are just going to, you know, they're going to get people upset day and night. They're going to get happy when they win a couple of games. The Phillies will just slog along all summer long with the rest of the National League East and keep people happy and disappointed at the same time for the foreseeable future. Because I don't know whether they're a playoff team or a championship team. It doesn't look like it right now because of all the problems. But to me, the Sixers, Flyers right now, they're hitting a reset again. And the Eagles, who knows? We'll find out. Once the schedule is released later today, I will be able to give you a complete and concise recap and predict to you how many games they will win and lose just based on the schedule release. Chris,
where can we read that when you make that prediction today, Tony Bruno?
Well, you know, I don't have a blog, or I don't sell T-shirts and stuff. Or
you tweet it?
I don't have any kind of stores. I just post them on Twitter at Tony Bruno Show. The win and loss column. Actually, I'll be doing a special show tomorrow night on No Filter with the great Chris Rose.
Okay.
From Fox Sports out there in L.A., the NFL Network.
Sure.
We will be doing a scheduled release show tomorrow night on No Filter Net. So go to nofilter.net. You have to sign up, but you don't have to pay anything, no credit cards, no social security numbers. No salesman will call. And it's a free site where you can go in and listen to great shows with people speaking their minds, laughing, having a good time. I know that's hard to believe in this day and age. NoFilter.net. I'll be breaking down the NFL schedule tomorrow. It's the day we all wait for in Philadelphia. This way we'll all know how many games the Eagles will win and lose, despite most of these players haven't even played together for 1 second. We'll be able to tell you precisely how many wins and how many losses.
They leaked week one to Fox and Friends this morning on Fox Sports. They leaked game one. That's the Eagles at Atlanta will be week one, game one for the Eagles. Eagles at
Atlanta.
Will
they be playing down there? Will that play a game be postponed by somebody who will determine that the Eagles should not go to Atlanta because of the repressive and Jim Crow voting laws? So Jeffrey Lurie, who's one of the woke owners, will say, you know, we may not play that game. If they don't change the election laws before the election in November, we need to not go and play down there. That game will be moved to a neutral site in Chester, Pennsylvania, at the arena, the stadium that changes names every year for the Philadelphia Union play.
We love you, Tony Bruno. Come back and see us soon.
All right, thanks. It's always fun, Zach.
That's the Tony Bruno, at Tony Bruno Show on Twitter, and No Filter. You can listen to him. That's the kind of thing radio is missing in this town. That guy right there. So good to talk with him. All right, sit tight. Rand Paul dresses down Dr. Fauci yesterday. We've got that coming up on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. I don't want no problems, cause I put you to the side. Any doubt what I said yesterday is true, that the Democrats like destruction. They like to weaken the country. They mostly love to weaken small business. They love it. Love it, love it, love it. As evidenced by the discussion in the Senate, where right now the Senate Majority Leader, Chuckie Schumer, the ambulance chaser, he wants to extend unemployment benefits beyond September. Now, we already all understand how hard it is for small businesses in this country to get people to come back to work. And we all understand and we know, because if you talk to anybody who actually runs a business that employs people, they will all tell you the same thing. They're all telling me the same thing. And I don't know them all to be hyper-partisan conservatives, by the way. Many of them, in fact, I can verify are not. They all say the same thing. I can't get people to come back and do the job that they were doing because they're collecting more in unemployment. I have had texts and messages from people over the last 24 hours who have said, Chris, I got a friend who told me straight to my face, I'm not going back to work. I can make more money collecting the check. People aren't as apt to admit it aloud. We had a few calls late last year. Already people were admitting that. I'm not in any hurry to get back there. I'm making better money right now on unemployment than I was. I mean, look, Uber and Lyft drivers are collecting more in unemployment than they were most days driving. That's for sure. So you're starting to find that there's a shortage of people driving Uber and Lyft around town. Because why? If I can make as much or more money not driving as driving, I'll choose the not working part. Pretty obvious. Hard to fault many people for the logic. So Chuckie Schumer said yesterday at a press conference that there was overwhelming support among Democrats to keep providing additional money for unemployment insurance. But not every member of the Democrat caucus is on board. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia is making it clear he would not support extending benefits past September 6th. I'll never vote for another extension as long as I know that with the vaccines, there's not an excuse for no one to be vaccinated. I understand there's millions of jobs in America that we can't fill, so we need people to get back to work. There's more and more people understanding they're in trouble. So why would Chuckie Schumer not understand that? Why would his boss, the Senate Majority Leader, not understand it? Oh, he understands it. It's purposely destructive. Crushing the middle class, crushing job creators, crushing the ability for individuals to make their own incomes and livings is by design. Democrats don't like you making your own way. Democrats want to put the squeeze on people making their own way. Democrats want to hurt the middle class to make them a dependent class. It's not hard. I mean, it's no more complex than that. Meanwhile, 178,622 people, that's how many people, attempted to cross the Mexico-U.S. border at our south in the month of April. That's more than in any number in the last two decades. 178,622 people crossing illegally into this country. More than any number in the last two decades. Again, on purpose. Why? Crush the working class. Change the demographics of this country. Crush the middle class. Step one, step two. It's purposeful, folks. It's purposeful. Close the Keystone XL pipeline. Let's go ahead and just take it at face value. What the news tells us, Russia hacked a pipeline, limiting half this country's energy supply. It's on purpose. CNBC reporting this morning, inflation surges in April as consumer prices leap 4.2%, even more than expected. So prices are going up. Half of our gas supply at this hour is threatened. Inflation accelerated at the fastest pace in more than 12 years for April. As the United States economy kicks into gear, the Consumer Price Index, which measures a basket of goods as well as energy, housing costs rose 4.2% from a year ago. excluding volatile food and energy prices. This increase is the fastest since September 2008. Not a great time, by the way, historically for the economy, if you go back to September 2008. That's when we had a lot of shovel-ready jobs, and we were bailing out the auto companies. On purpose. It's on purpose. And what does Chuck Schumer say? Let's print more money and give more money away. It's on purpose. You know it's on purpose. Locking businesses down in Pennsylvania and not letting them go back to work is on purpose. Jim Kenney, Tom Wolf, Thomas Farley, the health director of Philadelphia, they're hurting you on purpose. They're hurting children on purpose, not letting them go back to school on purpose. It's very, very hard to hear. It's very difficult for a lot of people who voted Democrat all their life to come to grips with this, but they're doing it on purpose. Meanwhile, down in Florida, Ron DeSantis.
These kids do not need to be wearing these masks, okay? I'm sorry, they don't. We need to be able to let them be kids and let them act normally, and that's what should be the case in the fall throughout the school year.
Remember H.R. 1 that left the House and headed to the Senate? Democrats, on purpose, want to make sweeping changes to our election law. A key Senate panel deadlocked yesterday on legislation to overhaul our elections. The Senate Rules Committee evenly split 9-9 on the For the People Act. The tie means Democrats aren't able to formally advance the bill to the floor, but that won't stop the party from moving forward with it. Democrats have multiple options for how to ultimately bring this election reform bill up for vote in the Senate, something Chuckie Schumer vows he will do. With respect and some earnest debate, I think a lot of people have learned things today. I hope that it will guide us as we go forward. Uh-huh. Election reform bill, what does that mean? No signature verification, no voting in person, mail-in ballots handled like Jiffy Lube or pizza coupons in the mail. No chain of custody requirement, no supervision and counting. Drop boxes, satellite election centers. On purpose. Degrading the integrity of our elections on purpose as designed to cheat. All of it on purpose. 200,000 illegals in 1 month. Inflation on the rise. A shortage of energy. Degrading our elections process. Keeping businesses locked down with capricious rules about attendance and masks. It's by design. They're purposely trying to crush you and me to make us dependent. They've got the middle class in this country in vice grips. After 4 years of a president who unleashed the American economy, who cut taxes, who locked down the border, who brought jobs home, now the radicals are back in charge, and they're putting the middle class, they're putting the economy in vice grips and squeezing it to destroy it on purpose. And they're trying to rig the elections in perpetuity to make sure that they can keep us in vice grips and they can stay in power because they can't win elections, so they have to rig it to cheat. This is where we are. That's the sober reality of it all. I wish I had a rosier portrait to paint. And as for Grandpa, well, he put another early lid on the day yesterday. No kidding. As things are going to hell, Grandpa was done by 3:30 in the afternoon yesterday. No more talkie. No more access. Grandpa does his best work before breakfast, apparently, like between 6 and 9. Actually, this is probably Grandpa's prime hour. He's back to napping and pudding by 9:30. This is Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. An elected hero, a truth teller, besides guys like DeSantis down in Florida. It's not just our governors, some of our senators, some of our United States senators deserve that kind of credit too. Rand Paul is just such a guy, particularly as it relates to Dr. Fauci. when these two meet, it's like watching some Wild Kingdom video. I just love watching Rand Paul in a showdown with Dr. Fauci. It's clear, you know, Fauci is, you know, this happy little elfin tree-dwelling doctor who's everybody's so deferential to. They put him on the covers of magazines, you know. Except with Rand Paul, who has no time for him, thinks he's full of crap, and tells him to his face he is. And boy, does that, can you tell? Can't you tell how Fauci hates Rand Paul?
It's magical when they meet.
I don't know whether the pandemic started in a lab in Wuhan or evolved naturally, but we should want to know. 3 million people have died from this pandemic, and that should cause us to explore all possibilities. Instead, government authorities, self-interested in continuing gain-of-function research, say there's nothing to see here. Gain-of-function research, as you know, is juicing up naturally occurring animal viruses to infect humans. To arrive at the truth, the U.S. government should admit that the Wuhan Virology Institute was experimenting to enhance the coronavirus's ability to infect humans.
Skipping ahead.
So do you still support sending money to the Wuhan Virology Institute?
We do not send money now to the Wuhan Virology Institute.
Do you support sending money? We did, under your tutelage. We were sending it through EcoHealth. It was a sub-agency and a sub-grant. Do you support that the money from NIH that was going to the Wuhan Institute?
Let me explain to you why that was done. The SARS-CoV-1 originated in bats in China. It would have been irresponsible of us if we did not investigate the bat viruses and the serology to see who might have been infected.
Or perhaps it would be irresponsible to send it to the Chinese government that we may not be able to trust with this knowledge and with this incredibly dangerous viruses. Government scientists like yourself who favor gain-of-function research...
I don't favor gain-of-function research in China. You are saying things that are not correct.
You are saying things that are not correct.
Government defenders of gain-of-function, such as yourself, say that COVID-19 mutations were random and not designed by man. But interestingly, the technique that Dr. Barrick developed forces mutations by serial passage through cell culture that the mutations appear to be natural. In fact, Dr. Barrick named the technique the no-see-um technique because the mutations appear naturally. Nicholas Baker of the New York Magazine said nobody would know if the virus had been fabricated in a laboratory or grown in nature. Government authorities in the U.S., including yourself, unequivocally deny that COVID-19 could have escaped a lab. But even Dr. Xi in Wuhan wasn't so sure. According to Nicholas Baker, Dr. Xi wondered, could this new virus have come from her own laboratory? She checked her records frantically and found no matches. That really took a load off my mind, she said. I had not slept for days. The director of the gain-of-function research in Wuhan couldn't sleep because she was terrified that it might be in her lab. Dr. Barrick, an advocate of gain-of-function research, admits the main problem that the Institute of Virology has is the outbreak occurred in close proximity. What are the odds? Barrick responded, could you rule out a laboratory escape? The answer in this case is probably not. Will you, in front of this group, categorically say that the COVID-19 could not have occurred through serial passage in a laboratory?
I do not have any accounting of what the Chinese may have done, and I'm fully in favor of any further investigation of what went on in China. However, I will repeat again, the NIH and NIAID categorically has not funded gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
You do support it in the U.S. We have 11 labs doing it, and you have allowed it here. We have a committee to do it, but the committee has granted every exemption. You're fooling with Mother Nature here. You're allowing superviruses to be created with a 15% mortality. It's very dangerous. I think it was a huge mistake to share this with China, and it's a huge mistake to allow this to continue in the United States. And we should be very careful to investigate where this virus came from.
I fully agree that you should investigate where the virus came from. But again, we have not funded gain-of-function research on this virus in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. No matter
you're
how
parsing
many times
words, you're parsing
you say
words.
It,
there
it
was
didn't
research.
Happen.
There was research done with Dr. Shi and Dr. Barrick. They have collaborated on gain of function research where they enhanced the SARS virus to infect human airway cells, and they did it by merging a new spike protein on it. That is gain of function. That was joint research between the Wuhan Institute and Dr. Barrick, you can't deny it.
Senator Paul, your time.
Harumph!
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Give the governor harumph.
Harumph! You watch your ass.
Oh, he owns that diminutive little tree-dwelling elf, Dr. Fauci. Dr. Paul versus Dr. Fauci in a battle royale. It's not even close. This is the only guy that challenges that little gnome. The only one. Fauci's not used to being spoken to this way. There aren't even people smart enough on television to do the research Dr. Paul just did in laying him out. Fauci's game is up.
News, opinion, passion. Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer.
Remember how Trump always used to say, "Are you tired of winning yet? We're going to be winning, winning, winning." I'm tired of all the losing, personally. How about you?
Every day.
Tired of all the losing.
If you agree with me, go to Joe30330 and help me in this fight.
Or they can text their zip code to their zip code, text it to 438829.
Text. But Liz.
Today we face a threat America has never seen before. A former president who provoked a violent attack on this Capitol in an effort to steal the election has resumed his aggressive effort to convince Americans that the election was stolen from him.
Yeah, that's Liz's biggest threat. The Cheney family's assessment of the biggest threat the nation faces is a guy that's been completely banned from all social media, twice impeached. He's the biggest threat. No, he's the biggest threat to her. He's the biggest threat to establishment politics. He's the biggest threat to the way Washington does business. Jim Jordan.
You can't have the Republican conference chair reciting Democrat talking points, especially when gas prices are up 50%, there's a crisis on the border, and Democrats are trying to federalize election law and pack the United States Supreme Court. That is not helpful. That is the concern. And that's why 3 months ago, there were a number of us who wanted to make a change. That change, in fact, will happen tomorrow, Laura. And I think that's a good thing for our party. You want our party spokesperson to be in tune with more than a single-digit percentage of the party. 90-some percent of the party disagree with Congresswoman Cheney. There needs to be a change. And again, I think that's going to happen tomorrow, and I think it'll be a strong vote.
Jim Jordan with Laura Ingraham last night. So that's the tongues are wagging on MSNBC and CNN. That's all they can talk about is Liz Cheney as the gas lines continue to pile up and down the East Coast. See you tomorrow.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM.